So yeah, again, this morning I'm excited to introduce Bruce Walker. He's been a church member here for just over a year now. And Bruce currently is working at Oak Hill Boys Ranch, and that's really the context that we first met. And Bruce, this guy just has such a heart for Jesus, such a heart to make Jesus famous, and just the love he pours out on these students is huge in that setting that I've seen. He's also heavily involved in a ministry called Connecting Streams, and he's going to share a little bit about that and have a team come up here and share about that ministry, so I'm excited about that. Bruce, as well, you worked at the Remand Center as a prison chaplain, and starting in the fall, like more kind of officially, he's going to be at the Edmonton Max, basically teaching a one-year Bible college program, which is pretty awesome. So Bruce, I'm going to get you come up here now, and I'm going to pray for you, and then it's all you. So here, I'll switch you spots.
All right.
So yeah, would you join me in prayer? Lord, I thank you that we can gather here today. Lord, I thank you for Bruce, for the word that you have placed on his heart, the message you've placed on his heart, and the working that you are so clearly doing in his life. Jesus, just speak through Bruce this morning. Allow us to hear you. Allow us to hear what you have for each one of us. Lord, we thank you. In your holy and perfect name, amen.
Amen.
Hey, Jeff. Josh.
Sorry. Well, he just did my introduction, so I don't have to do that. And wasn't that worship great this morning? I don't even have to give a sermon now, because that just did it all. That said it all. Anyway, good morning. Jesus is awesome. Yeah, like Josh said, I've been involved with Oak Hill Boys Ranch. You might see me coming around with some boys here and there for a church service or in the Friday night, the tween group. It's a really privilege to see this community here, and you guys being so involved in this community and being so welcome to the boys there. It's been a great experience. I actually gave my heart to the Lord 26 years ago at Shure Park Alliance Church. And I'm not going to go into it now, but the steps that moved me here, it's just been amazing. Like Josh said, I was at the Remand Center as a chaplain for a couple of years, and that's where I met Fred. And then Fred, in turn, invited me to go around in the bush shooting people with little plastic pellets, and that's where I met your pastor, Brent. Yeah, it's interesting. So, and at the Edmonton Max, I'm actually in there right now doing college prep program for a group of inmates, and I'm working for Prairie College. And this fall, we're going to start with the first course of Christian living, is what it is. And it's interesting because 3/4 of my students are non-believers, and they're interested in what is going on there. And the books that we're going to be using are books on Tozer. So I don't know if many of you know Tozer, but he's very much a solid believer and has very good explanations for everything. So. And I'm going to go into Connecting Streams a little bit more at the end. And I came on staff with them within the past year. We've been actually more back in the remand. We were building teams and things like that in there. And when I left there, it was a natural kind of transition to be with them in the outside as well. And we've been doing teams in the inner city. I've been preparing and going into different areas. So before I start, I'd like to pray and ask God's blessing for the service. Father, it's all about you, Lord. Everything, Lord. We lift you up this morning, Father. And we ask you for guidance through your Holy Spirit, that you would be our guide in this life, that you would be our teacher, and that this morning, Lord, that you would, your Holy Spirit would just be part of us so much and give us ears to hear your words, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So at one time in history, there was this fellow that God had called to be a pastor. This fellow was driven by the gospel of Christ and not religion. This guy took the words that Jesus spoke to love others as I have loved you seriously. In his spare time, he would go to the slums of his city and reach out to those who were bound by the addictions of alcohol, drugs, welfare, prison, and abuse. He had this inner compulsion to go and introduce people to Jesus and then get them working and treating their families properly. His church in the suburbs was frustrated that he would go and do this kind of thing. And they gave him an ultimatum. You're either going to serve them or you're going to serve us. Well, his decision was clear. So he quit his job in the church and he moved to the slums. He was dishonored within the Christian community. He lost everything he worked for as a pastor. He took a financial hit, but this world was not his security. His security was in Christ alone. 43 years after he made this step of faith, he was still living in a very basic way. The one thing had changed in his life. He had over 20,000 pastors working for him in 58 countries, preaching the gospel in 34 languages. This man, whom in the beginning of his ministry, religion took away his honor and his reputation for choosing the poor over the rich, received a royal funeral. This man's name was General William Booth, who was the founder of the Salvation Army. His favorite saying was, "Go for souls and go for the worst." There I am. When I was in England last September, I went to the college God used him to build to train these pastors. And I saw this plaque near the front of the college. This stone, was laid the 10th of May, 1928, by the Reverend D.A.A. Green, minister of Hampstead Synagogue, on behalf of Hebrew admirers in memory of William Booth. As Moses led the Israelites out of the bondage of Egypt, so he by his life and work led slaves of sin from bondage to freedom. Before I continue, I have to be honest with you for a minute. I have a goal today that includes you. If you don't know Jesus, I'm ready to introduce you to him. And if you know Jesus already and you aren't serving him, I'm here to give you options to get busy. Every Christian should be serving Jesus in some manner. If you are in a war and you can't shoot, you should at least carry bullets. When Jesus started his ministry, he declared the first part of Isaiah 61 openly to the public. "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted and to proclaim that captives will be released and prisoners will be freed. He has sent me to tell those who mourn that the time of the Lord's favor has come. Jesus ended his short talk that day by telling the crowd that this prophecy is being fulfilled at that very moment. And then the crowd tried to throw him off a cliff. The crowd literally intended to throw Jesus off a cliff for proclaiming the truth. In the Garden of Eden, when Adam, the federal head of all humankind, first sinned, this was a rejection of God, and Satan began to rule as the god of this world. Then God's image that existed in people was tarnished as a result of sin. But Christ going to the cross takes people that are corrupted by sin and makes them new again. He takes them that were enemies of God and makes them children of God. Part of the meaning of the word in Scripture, children of God, means direct creation of God. Second Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here." The word Christian is an interesting word because it was given to us by our observers in ancient Antioch and didn't directly come from the community of believers. At the same time, it is the exact word that describes who we are. We are God's restored image, or Christ-like. In our modern age, we are so concerned about our physical appearance that some of us may think to be like someone, we have to look exactly like them. You can see this in how people sport a new hairstyle or new clothes of their favorite actor or singer. In the Bible, you read very little about a person's physical appearance because a person was not described by what they physically looked like. They were described by what they did. The Christian adopts God's values and moves towards being God's restored image through getting to know God more. One question you might be asking is, how do we best know God's personality, and how can we get to know him more? God was here on earth as Jesus. So we study Jesus and his life to understand God. We surrender our lives to Christ, and God uses that surrender to transform us. And he transforms us into Christ's image. This is the meaning of the word Christian. We feel the transformation happening. And the scripture gives us direction and affirmation. If the transformation isn't happening, it becomes stalled or removed towards legalism, we need to go back to the basics of faith and look again at what it is we are trusting in. The term used to describe this act of going back to the basics is called reformation. Many of us look to 500 years ago to a young German guy named Martin Luther, who's looked at as being the start of the event in history called the Reformation. God had used this event to cause Christianity in general to go back to the basics. In a minute, we are going to look at a passage where Jesus was doing this exact same thing with a man. Not every story in the Gospels makes it into all four of them, because it is four different writers giving different records of the events. There being four Gospels is actually one of the reasons why the document is so credible. In a court of law, all you need is two similar witness statements for something to be credible. In the gospel's sake, we have four similar statements about the events of Jesus' life. Sometimes there is a particular event that is so significant that every witness remembers it. This parable I'm about to read, or the story I'm about to read, it was actually in three of the four gospels, and it was worded very similar. Let's read about Jesus confronting a man to return to the basics of faith. I'll use the account in Matthew 19, 16 to 26. Just then, a man came up to Jesus and inquired, "Teacher, what good thing must I do to obtain eternal life?" "Why do you ask me about what is good?" Jesus replied. "There is only one who is good. If you want to enter life, keep the commandments." "Which ones?" the man asked. Jesus answered, "Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother, and love your neighbor as yourself." "All these I have kept," said the young man. "What do I still lack?" Jesus told him, "If you want to be perfect, sell your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." When the young man heard this, he went away in sorrow because he had great wealth. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Truly I tell you, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again I tell you, it is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished. "Who then can be saved?" But Jesus looked at them and said, "With man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible." This man that Jesus was talking to had a problem with the object of his faith. The object of this man's faith was money, not Christ. He was trying to get into heaven by himself, following the law and trusting in money. So when Christ called him on it, the man could only walk away because he had great wealth, and that's where his security was. If you think about it for a minute, the man was actually lying to Jesus as well. How do I know this, you might say? To prove this, I'm going to ask you a short quiz. I don't want you to answer anything out loud. I just want you to answer it honestly in your heart. Have you ever told a lie? What do you call a person who tells a lie? A liar. Have you ever taken something that wasn't yours? What do you call that person? A thief. Have you ever misused God's name? That, my friend, is a blasphemer. Jesus said, if you hate someone, it is the same as murder. Have you ever done that? Jesus said, if you lust after someone in your heart, it's the same as adultery. Have you ever done that? I'm willing to bet that if you are truly honest with yourself, most of you would answer yes to these five questions. If you answer yes to these questions, you would be admitting that you are a lying, thieving, blasphemer, and murdering adulterer at heart. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Let's go back to verses 25 and 26 in the previous passage when the disciples said, "Who then can be saved?" But Jesus looked at them and said, "With man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." Verse 26 is one of the keys that brings the understanding of this passage together. Jesus looked at them and said, "With man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible." Now, let's go through that quiz again, but I want to add love to the equation, and let's see the results. If you love somebody, would you lie about them? Steal from them, misuse their name, kill them, or sleep with their spouse? The obvious answer to this is no. Where does this love come from that transforms us then? It was displayed by Christ becoming our sin and being nailed to the cross. Second Corinthians 5:21 says, "God made him who knew no sin to be our sin, or to be sin in our behalf, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." Let's look more at what the Bible says about this transforming love. 1 John 4:16-19 says, "And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence in the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out all fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us." Verse 19 says, "We love because he first loved us." Maybe to some of you, what I'm talking about is a foreign language, and you have not experienced this love that the Bible talks about. I would encourage you not to leave here today before talking to someone and get started in this love relationship. To others, you may have this overwhelming compulsion inside of you to express what God is doing, and it has started and ended within the walls of this church. You got saved, and when that fountain started bubbling inside, you went and told someone, and they made you an usher, and you didn't go any further. Now, if you're an usher, I don't want to minimize what you're doing. I want you to keep doing that, but I want you to build on it. Let that bubbling fountain compel you to start to serve and overflow into other parts of your life and ministry, giving all glory to God. In the old days, this bubbling fountain of compulsion would cause missionaries to pack up their coffin and head out away to a faraway mission field because they knew it was a one-way trip and they weren't getting buried at home. Let's go back to verse 19 of the previous passage. We love because he first loved us. The source of love is God, and he gets all the glory for anything that results from that love being expressed in our lives. I have to tell you, you don't have to go to a faraway land to be a missionary. There are mission opportunities right here in Edmonton waiting for you to be a part of. And this love can be expressed that God has for you towards others. Matthew 25 talks about a time when Jesus will divide up the nations into two categories, into the sheep and the goats. Let's start on verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come visit you?" The king will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devils and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me." They also will answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you?" He will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me." Then they will go into eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. If you look closely at this passage, the ones that were the sheep didn't even know they were doing these things for Christ. The love shown to others was an expression of their salvation and not a merit badge. The compulsion to serve comes from the love that was displayed on the cross. Jesus is the object of our faith. And as we surrender every part of our lives to him more and more, God uses that surrender to transform us into his image. The Bible says the source of love is not in us, but in God. The object of our faith is Christ going to the cross and gaining victory over death. The fruit of this faith is a love relationship with the Creator, whom we call Father, and a loving relationship with others around us. I'm part of an organization, like I said before, called Connecting Streams. We go into the inner city, addiction recovery facilities, prisons, long-term care facilities, visit widows, communities of new believers to Canada, among other places, to express our salvation in loving others to the Lord. Jesus is our goal. Our mission statement is, "Connecting Streams equips and mobilizes the church to help societies marginalized know Jesus and experience his power to change the world. Sorry. In a minute, I'm going to invite a few different volunteers from this organization to give brief testimonies of their experiences and what God is doing in their lives in relation to this. None of the people coming up here are looking for a badge of honor. They are here to let you know the practical application of the gospel doesn't end when you walk out those doors Sunday morning. There is a way that you can express that bubbling fountain inside of you that is longing to be expressed. I want you to introduce you to some of my team that goes into different areas of society to share the love of Christ. My fiance, Tiffany. My good friend, Dalton, whom you know. There's Rhonda. And my supervisor, Emily. I don't think Danny showed up, did he? No. Okay. Lacking one. He's probably working. Okay, if I can invite them to come up. So I'll be starting with Tiffany. Sorry. Can you guys tell me how you got involved with Connecting Streams? How have you personally seen God move among people, and how has this caused you to grow? Then I'll get Emily to wrap it up with how some of you can get involved if you want. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. I got involved with Connecting Streams through Bruce. He had been working with them at the Remand Center where I was also working. Last year, I think he started organizing teams to go into some facilities downtown, and I said, well, can I get involved there? And he said, yep. So he hooked me up with Emily, who hooked me up with a team of ladies that was going into the Women's Emergency Accommodation Center downtown. So every other Monday, I would go there, and we would have kind of like a little Bible study group with women specifically. One thing that I noticed, especially going into that place, is those women, some of them have never experienced love in the way that we have been fortunate to experience. Some of them may have grown up in a loving home, but then they've made mistakes, they've gotten involved with things that and people that they that took advantage of them and stuff. And so going in there and being able to share this love, like Jesus's love with them, is it's miraculous that we get to go in there and speak with them. And some of them, they come in and they sit with us once and then we never see them again. And then some of them, they come weekly. Even some that weren't even staying there would come back on Monday nights so that they could have fellowship with us. So that was a real blessing. After a while, I started going into the Herb with Bruce and a team of people. That one's unique because it's more of like a sermon. One of the team members kind of runs the show for the night, does a message, and the rest of the team gets to do other things like do the audiovisual and stuff. So we all get a chance to kind of express our unique talents. One thing that I love about Connecting Streams is that it is a group. You're never going into a place alone. So for me, for example, I always thought, there's no way I'm going to be able to do anything like this. Like, I just don't have the confidence to do it. But then you're there with this team that supports you, and they want you to succeed because they want to succeed. So it's just a really good team environment. And, yeah, that's it for me. Rhonda?
Started doing prison ministry. I came to Connecting Streams. God kind of put that on my heart, and I didn't really understand why. At the time, I was kind of just feeling a little lukewarm and not really passionate about my faith anymore. I think I was kind of, at the beginning, it was exciting, and I did all the right things. I started the Bible studies and absorbed more programs and books and things, and that was great because I think we need that foundation, but it was to the point where if I wasn't using it, I think I was going to lose it. So I think God got a hold of me, and I Googled prison ministry, and found Connecting Streams and started going into the remand. And I expected to go there taking something to people that were lost and broken. And what ended up happening is I met a lot of people that are just like me, and their stories are my stories. Like, the difference was, I would joke with the guys, the difference is you got caught and I didn't. And that was really, that was eye-opening for me. And so as I began to serve, and I didn't really know what I was doing at the beginning or why I was going, as I started to go, I was being transformed. So I would go in and I would share something with these guys, and they're hungry. They're coming out because the mask has fallen off. Like, we in society can kind of put on these masks and pretend that everything's okay. But in the prison, that mask is taken away. So you're seeing people that are raw, that are admitting that they need help. And so you share what God has done in your lives, and they respond to that. And in turn, God would bless me. And I would leave there going, oh my goodness, I didn't bring Christ in. I came here and met him. And he's already there working in these lives. And it was just that connection. So that was really exciting. Like Tiffany said, the idea of going into a prison, particularly God had called me into the men's units, was scary. But going in with teams, you have people that are supporting you, that are praying with you, that are encouraging one another. And so I feel like I had been a Christian probably 13 years, and I have been in prison ministry for just over two. And I have grown more in that 2 years. And the more that I would try to give it away, the more that God would fill me. And so that was really exciting. And so I would encourage anyone who's feeling like they've kind of taken in a lot of information and they know that they're solid in their faith, go and see what happens when you try and give that away, because God is so faithful to reward that. So, yeah, that's it.
Yeah, when I kind of first heard about Connecting Streams, it kind of happened. It was definitely a God thing, because really the first conversations about involving me didn't even directly involve me. Pretty much just people that I knew would be talking to Bruce, like my dad and like some friends and stuff, and he would, of course, be talking about what he's involved in and stuff, and like asked if he knew anyone that'd be interested, and my name came up, I guess, multiple times, and that was like definitely really good, because at the time I was probably about 3 months sober only, and so really was looking for the next step again in getting back into a closer relationship with God. And like Bruce has been saying all morning, that serving is very important in that. It's what we're called to do, and what better than something that you have already gone through and are still going through. And like Rhonda touched on that, going involving Connecting Streams in inner city, like I specifically go to George Spady Center every like 2 weeks, and that's been really good because it has been helping me a lot of growing in my faith and really challenging me and showing my like what more I need to be doing with Christ, and that I need to be bolder and feel more joy and not treat serving as something that just needs to be done because we're Christians. It's like a check in the box kind of thing. Make sure you're doing what you need to be doing, but that's it's bringing hope and joy to people that are craving it. Like so many times at Joyce Beatty, people are just, they're asking like about questions that involve what is next, because it's just, it's a place like to go. It's like a sobriety house for people just to go for like a little while, a couple weeks or something, and like get detoxed and everything. And then, but then what? They're really looking for the then what. They're craving something more. They don't, exactly like know about Jesus yet, but they know that it's at least he's someone to be looking into. And so that's what's been really good about that. And so, like, for you guys, even if it's not connecting streams, just something, because people are looking, just like we are, for something. Everyone's looking for that. And, like, my experience with, like, going to rehab and stuff, one of the big takeaways I had from there was that you can get rid of your addiction, whatever that is, but what are you going to replace it with? Because something needs to be replaced, otherwise you're going to go back to what you were doing. And God has challenged us and has commanded us to go out and to make known that he is the best option to replace.
I'll share a little bit of how I came to Connecting Streams too, actually. I just think each of our stories is unique and how we got involved is unique. So it might be you sitting there who has a similar story. So I was actually at Vanguard College, where Josh has also gone to. And I was in my fourth year there and looking for a place to serve, and came across Connecting Streams, and I just got so excited about what they do, because I saw Society is Marginalized and sharing the gospel, and I was like, yes, that is, I think, what I've been made for. It's just a passion that I've had. I can't say that I've been marginalized in some of the ways that prisoners or the inner city have, or even seniors or newcomers to Canada or widows. Those are kind of our five streams of ministry. But I've experienced in my own life feelings of abandonment or being an outsider, disconnection from people, and just a longing to connect with people in a deeper, more meaningful way. And just really experienced throughout my life how Christ came in and said, you know, I love you, you're my child, and I want to walk with you through life. And it's through that I have come to have a passion for other people who are walking in a similar journey, and just desire for them to know Jesus in a personal way. And so I got involved with Connecting Streams, and then after graduating, joined staff. And so I've actually been serving on staff, but it's just a wonderful opportunity to see not only, you know, I get to get involved, but also just everybody sitting here too has the opportunity to serve. And it's a beautiful thing to see our volunteers. I wish Danny were here this morning, because when we were sitting down and he was first becoming a volunteer, he's saying, you know, this isn't me, like, I don't do this kind of stuff, but I think I need to get involved in some sort of way. And he just didn't see himself speaking with people. He didn't see himself praying or anything. A few months later, we got to talk, and he's like, Emily, you'll never believe it. I prayed, and I got so emotional, and I cried through the whole thing, but it was absolutely amazing, and, you know, just got to connect with people. And so we often talk about mutual transformation, how not only the people we're reaching out to are transformed by hearing the gospel and hearing Jesus, but the Lord is also doing the work in us. And just much of what Bruce has talked about and what everyone has shared here is that the gospel is not only about sharing that truth of Jesus with others, but it's just this active transformation that happens in each person who is touched by the life and the truth of Jesus. And so we just want to encourage all of you today to consider, what are the ways that Jesus is calling you to just go a step further in making him famous, in being transformed by him and helping others to know him personally? And I love what Dalton said, is that, you know, it doesn't have to be with Connecting Streams. It can be in any way. You know, they still need people to help serve with the kids' camp coming up. Maybe God is stirring in your heart to get involved with that. But we also just want to make that opportunity available for you in case this is something that you want to try because you don't know where to serve, or maybe it is something you're passionate about, serving in one of these areas of ministry. And so we have a volunteer process, and we'd love to walk through that with you, to come on as a volunteer, or to even just talk more about it. I brought a sign-up sheet today, or just be happy to talk with you afterwards about what that could look like or other opportunities. But yeah, we'd love for you to serve with us. And like they said, it's serving on a team. You're not going alone. And I think that's a model that Jesus showed us, is, you know, he sent the disciples out two by two, but oftentimes they did ministry in teams or in groups. And we rely upon one another. The Holy Spirit works through each of us in unique ways. And together we represent the body of Christ to other people and communicate that to him. So thank you for having us today, and I'll hand it over to Josh.
Well, thank you so much, guys, for sharing. Yeah, how God's working in each of you through this ministry, and it's exciting, it's powerful. You guys can grab a seat, and I'll call the worship team up. And Emily said pretty much everything I wanted to say as far as serving somewhere. Both Emily and Dalton said that, and I do feel confident that each one of us in this room, God's calling you to serve somewhere. I don't know where that is. I can't necessarily tell you where that is. Maybe it is connecting streams. And if God's got you excited, if there's a stirring happening in your heart, don't leave this place without chatting with Emily, with Bruce, with one of them, about connecting streams. And maybe it's kid camp. Again, don't leave this place until you have that conversation. To just start the conversation, even. It's so good, and God has big plans for each one of us. It's exciting. So I'm going to pray now. We're going to sing one more song together. And yeah. So Jesus, Lord, we thank you how you're working. Lord, we thank you that there is just clear ministry happening of making you famous through looking out. It's such an exciting thing. Jesus, continue to stir in our hearts. And yeah, Lord, just reveal to us where you would have us serve. And Jesus, if it is connecting streams, that you would give us the boldness to even start that conversation today. That it wouldn't be like, I'll get to it later. No, Lord, that you would work now, that we would start that conversation today. Jesus, we thank you. In your name, amen.